Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Richardson, and today I am putting the AP in Happy, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. This podcast will give a voice to accounts payable team members by talking about the growing reality of cyber attacks in their world and which vendor setup and vendor management techniques they can apply to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Visit the Vendor Process Training Center to enroll in your choice of 55 plus training sessions that will help you and your team avoid fraud, compliance fines, and bad vendor data. Or just sign up to get access to vendor process FAQs and to attend weekly drop-in live Q&A sessions. Visit training.deborahrrichardson.com today. The link will be in the show notes. The next few podcast episodes will consist of the frequently asked questions that I get just in case you had the same questions. Now, this episode, I will talk about what happens when an existing vendor has a new IRS tax ID and why that question is really not as simple as it sounds. Keep listening. Welcome to episode 256, FAQ. When a vendor has a new tax ID, do I have to create a new vendor record? So first of all, let me just say, I'm glad that was the way that this last question was phrased, meaning do I have to create a new vendor record? Because sometimes I'll get, right, when a vendor has a new tax ID, can I keep the existing vendor record and just type over or overwrite the tax ID? So at least I'm glad that this person that asked the question recognizes that they may have to create a new vendor record and is asking that question. A lot of times I get the question in and they are asking if they can just overwrite the existing taxpayer ID or tax ID. So the quick answer to this, I will say, is best practice is when you have a vendor that has a new tax ID, you need to create a new vendor record for that tax ID. And that also means you need to inactivate the existing vendor record. And the reason why is because the payment activity needs to follow the tax ID or the taxpayer ID. Now, I have had actually some questions and then also some practitioner experience, right, where you set up a vendor record, there's absolutely no activity on it. So there's no payment, there's no invoices, there's no payments, there's no PO set up. And now they're going to give you a new tax ID. Well, in that case, yes, you can override it because there have been no activities on it. But in most cases, that has happened because it was the wrong taxpayer ID to begin with, not that anything has changed. So overall, in general, if you've had activity on that vendor record and that vendor changes their tax ID, then yes, you do need to create a new vendor record and inactivate the old vendor record. But this, I will tell you, is where the actual work comes in. It's not really in creating that new vendor record, right? That's easy enough. And by the way, in creating that new vendor record, make sure you collect all the information that is normally required when you set up a new vendor. So that is the W-9. That is the banking information if it's an electronic payment vendor, because a lot of times, right, they will also change their bank account at the same time because that could be linked to their business name and to their tax ID. And so treat them like a new vendor, create that new vendor record. So let's talk about, though, what that's going to mean in your system and other processes that you may need to do. So in activating the vendor record, you do need to look at what activity that vendor record has on it. And so the first thing that you may think about and may see is if there are any pending invoices on that vendor record. And let me just say, if there are pending invoices, you may have to hold off. You can do one or two things. You may have to hold off on inactivating that record until those invoices are paid. However, if those invoices technically belong to the new taxpayer ID or tax ID, then you're going to have those invoices closed or moved. I think they can just move them from one vendor to the other, right? Because that invoice activity should really be on that new tax ID. So it really should be moved, closed, open, closed and reopened, or moved to that new vendor ID. So that's the invoices. So you need to check if there are any pending invoices, and you won't be able to close that existing vendor record if you have open activity on it anyway. But check for invoices. Also check for purchase orders. Same thing. You won't be able to close it if there are open POs. And you, if there are open POs and that company is, it belongs to the old company, you may need to, you know, collect the invoices that will close out that PO, right? And then be able to close or inactivate that vendor once that activity is done. Or if the POs really belong to the new vendor ID, that new taxpayer ID, perhaps their new vendor name, then you need to close, have the purchasing team close and then reopen that purchase order under that new vendor ID. And I can tell you right now, that is not something that people want to do. The next activity that you need to look at for that existing vendor record is if that vendor record is included on any integration. So, for example, EDI invoices that come in on files, right? So you're going to have to look to see if the vendor has invoices coming in on the EDI. And when that happens, there is a vendor ID. There also could be locations or addresses, right, that are tied to that existing vendor record. And so the information for the new vendor ID is going to have to be included in that EDI file, and the vendor information on the old vendor ID is going to have to be removed. So whoever handles that in your company will have to work with the vendor to make that change, because if you inactivate that vendor record and that EDI file is not changed, the next time it comes in, it's going to fail. And then whoever is investigating those fails probably won't be happy. So they may not be happy anyway that they have to go back and make that change, but it's a little bit better than having to, you know, investigate any EDI files. And the same thing with any integrations that you have for like e-invoicing, platforms for vendor self-registration portals, although many of those platforms will absorb, have a process in place to absorb those changes, not always, right? And so you need to make sure that you check and work with those third-party providers or your IT team. They may be a great resource as well to identify what the vendor records are connected to, so you know what you need to check. But you may have to work with your IT team or systems team on that as well. So that's why you can see this whole question about vendors changing their tax IDs is not as simple as just creating a new vendor record, because creating a new vendor record is fairly easy, right? And inactivating the old vendor record is fairly easy, but it's all the stuff that the existing vendor record or old vendor record is connected to that you have to follow up on. Now, if I didn't say it before, when you are creating that new vendor record, I talked about collecting the same information that you do for any other new vendor, but also make sure you're doing all the same validations. I think I missed saying that you do for all new vendor records. And that does include the IRS 10 match. So you can make sure, right, that now they have their new tax ID, that they're also giving you the correct legal name that goes along with it. So do your IRS 10 match, make sure the legal name tax ID combination matches. And on that note, for the IRS 10 match, sometimes the IRS can take a long time to update their 10 match records, whatever they're using to do, whatever that database is. So if when you do the IRS 10 match, if it's not a match, then you can go back to the vendor and ask them to request the IRS form 147C. If they have to contact the IRS to get a letter to specify how they are registered with the IRS, what their legal name is, what their EIN or tax ID is, then the IRS will send them that 147C. But they may also have their own, you know, letter from the IRS that indicates the change that they made, right? That indicates the new information. And that's, I forgot the name of that number. I think it's 575, form 575 or something. I could be wrong about that, but they may have their own form that they can just forward to you. And if they don't, though, just have them contact the IRS and they'll send, and ask for a new one. They'll send the form 147C, whichever of those you get. Make sure that you file that or store it along with the validation that was not successful. And that way you can prove that the legal name tax ID combination that you set up in the accounting system or ERP is valid, even though the IRS 10 match hasn't updated their records yet. Oh, and then also, if they did change their legal name, make sure you redo the OFAC and any other watch list validation that is based on that initial search is based on the legal name tax or the legal name. And I'll just say it doesn't matter if their legal name changed or not. Just do it anyway, right? Those watch lists are not static. And this is a great opportunity. Just run it again, especially if you don't have continuous monitoring. So just run it again, make sure the vendor hasn't been added to the watch list since you checked them last or since you last onboarded them. It's a great time to check. All right. So bottom line is that yes, you do create a new vendor record. There may be a rare scenario where the vendor's record has not had any activity on it and you can just override it. But typically that's because the tax ID was fat fingered in the first place. Most cases, there will be activity. And if there is activity, yes, you do need to create a new vendor record and activate the old vendor record. And in that inactivation process, you need to look at open invoices. You need to look at open PO activity. You also need to look at the integrations and other feeds, such as EDI files that are coming in using that old vendor ID. And that's really the biggest piece of that, because you're going to be dealing with other teams and they are just going to say, well, why can't you just overwrite the tax ID? It'll be much easier for me. And no, you cannot. You have to keep the activity tied to the tax ID. All right, so I hope that the response to this frequently asked question was or brought some value to you and maybe even added some additional steps that, you know, when a vendor changes their tax ID in the future, you may add those to your process or checklist of what to look for. All right. So thanks, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the 256th episode of the Putting the AP in Happy podcast, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Don't forget to check the show notes for the links mentioned in the podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and writing a review of my podcast on the platform that you use to listen. Stay happy.